going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Joining me right now is one of my favorite NFL analysts, Eric Edholm from NFL.com. You can follow him on X on Twitter, at Eric_Edholm, E-D-H-O-L-M. He just came out with his 3.0 mock draft version yesterday. Before we get into Washington and some of the other things that I wanted you to come on with, I was just talking about this report, I think, from Peter Schrager about teams interested in trading up to 2 or 3, the Cleveland and the Giants spot for, you know, either Hunter, Carter, or Genty. And I said, yeah, Eric, it's one thing to take Ashton Genty in the top 5, top 10, and it does speak to sort of where we are with running backs, once again, after years of sort of that, that position being in the wilderness. But trading up for Genty would be crazy to me. What do you say?
Yeah, it's still going to be something that a lot of people would push back on, and maybe for good reason. I mean, obviously, like you said, even if this running back and the run game in general has had a resurgence, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, contracts will reflect that. But, you know, we obviously saw last year what the effect of a good run game can have on a team. And, anytime you go too far in one direction, it's going to swing back the other way. So that was understood. But I agree with you. I mean, most backfields are still manned by multiple guys. One back would have to be a pretty transcendent guy. I mean, we still debate whether Saquon was worth the number 2 pick in the draft, right? Even after a Super Bowl and, you know, the phenomenal season he had, there's still people who would say, hey, look, maybe you can spend your resources better. So if it's Genty, yeah, I mean, I understand the pushback and I understand why people would feel that way. You know, obviously, I think he and Hunter and Carter are probably the three closest things to blue chip prospects in this class. The first two, sure, but Genty would be in that conversation too, I think. But I get why people are wondering about that.
Yeah, and let me be clear. Like, I think Genty's clearly the best running back, and I wouldn't take a running back in the first round unless I thought he could become, you know, a Barkley or a Bijan Robinson or a McCaffrey type. Yep. But trading a future first and a second day pick to move up to take a running back, depending, I'm wondering actually, who do you think it is? Because I suggested it could be Dallas as one of those teams.
Yeah, I could see Denver too. Dallas doesn't seem like a team that has the same kind of urgency. I think, you know, if Genty was there on the board at 12, I think they'd have a real conversation. They'd probably consider him pretty strongly at that spot. I don't think they're in the market for moving up. I could be wrong. They've kind of valued their picks in recent years. We haven't seen the late 90s Jerry of swinging up. He's really, you know, trusted Will McClay and his scouting staff. Not to say it's not possible, but it would. Even with Brian Schottenheimer there, a guy who loves the run game, obviously everything kind of gets married off of that. To me, that's a little bit of a reach. But Denver, I'll say this. I called somebody there probably a month ago or a little less. And I can tell you, they have big aspirations this year.
Yeah.
You know, the first-round playoff loss was disappointing, but they feel like they're one or two guys away from really putting the Spurs to the likes of the Chiefs in that division. So, I don't know. I mean, it would be a jump to go from 20 to 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever to try to get Genty.
By the way, for those wondering, I mean, because Dallas is in the division, they did add Javonte Williams, who I think is talented. He's just never been available enough, and Miles Sanders. So their running back situation is probably better than it's been. We'll see. All right.
Yeah.
Before we get to specifics as it relates to Washington at 29, real quickly, two things. One, do you think Trey Hendrickson gets dealt, you know, either before Thursday, during Thursday, shortly after Thursday, or do you think he stays in Cincinnati?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard much on it lately, but it's a good question to ask because, I mean, you know, we have a first round where no first round picks have been traded, which hasn't happened, I believe, in the common draft era. So, you know, teams don't have that extra sort of, you know, cachet to go up there and trade a pick without feeling like, okay, you know, our options are limited. I mean, maybe a team like Arizona, if they feel like, you know, they don't have the right prospect, but they want that edge rusher to solidify their defense. But then Cincinnati has to say, okay, we're willing to do that. To this point, I haven't sensed that there's a strong urgency from them because they've set the price tag pretty darn high. It would have to be a first-round pick and more, at least according to their asking price not long ago. So, boy, I would say probably not. But then again, had you asked me if A.J. Brown was going to be traded on draft day a couple years ago, I would have said, I don't think so. So you never know. That's why, you know, that I'm sure a team like Philly that has been kind of lying in the weeds a little bit this offseason, everyone's waiting for Howie to make that big, you know, Python move for somebody like that.
And then the other non-draft question, the quarterback carousel has not stopped moving because Aaron Rodgers is still out there and Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback and yet they have DK Metcalf and they've got Pickens. So what happens, what are the quarterback moves left before we get to training camp?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. Obviously, the draft has some real moving parts there. You know, we know Cam Ward's going to be the first pick, but who's the next one off the board? You know, New Orleans, obviously, their situation. I don't think they take a quarterback at 9, even though my final mock put Shador Sanders there. You know, I think they'll find another way to get one, but I'm not sure how they do that. Cleveland and the Giants, too, even if they pass on them at 2 and 3, I think they're coming back for one as well. You know, there's the whole Kirk Cousins thing to figure out. But then, you know, I don't know if he's a real option in Pittsburgh if Aaron Rodgers just says, all right, I'm hanging out in Malibu for the season or whatever. So, yeah, there's a lot to figure out. Those are the kind of the big teams right now that I think they have the most to figure out. And then I would throw in the Falcons, depending on what they do with Cousins or whether they can realistically carry that salary and, you know, whether somebody even wants him on the roster if there's a fit. I mean, Pittsburgh would make sense just from, like, there are some connections there, but obviously, you know, you'd have to figure out the compensation and how much salary Atlanta's going to have to swallow. So those are probably the big things right now. And after hearing Rodgers the other day, I couldn't tell you which way he's leaning or not leaning. I really have no idea how to read that. So Pittsburgh is almost, I don't want to say locked into taking a quarterback, but pretty darn backed into a corner a little bit.
Talking to Eric at home from NFL.com. Well, just real quickly, and we'll focus on Washington in a second, but your mock, latest mock, you've got 4 quarterbacks going in the first round. And the last one is the most fascinating to me, but you just said you don't know if New Orleans is going to pick him, and yet your mock has Shador Sanders going to New Orleans, and then you've got Jackson Dart going to Pittsburgh at 21. Yeah. What's the issue with Shador Sanders? Why is the NFL not nearly as impressed as mock drafters have been over the last couple of months?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think I have him as my 33rd overall prospect, so there's a limit to what I think he could be, but there's also a pretty good floor. I mean, I think he's a tough kid. I think he's smart. He's got good football instincts and intelligence, good accuracy, can throw on the move. You know, I mean, after his pro day, I was impressed with how he threw the deep ball. I know that's only, you know, a sliver of the evaluation. There's only so much you can say from that. But still, you know, I mean, I don't know that the ceiling is sky high for him. And he's got a little bit of a smaller frame. He doesn't have a rocket arm, but he's creative, tough. You know, I mean, he's got the accuracy you're looking for, I think, on short and intermediate passes, and he can make some plays downfield too. So, you know, again, I mean, I wouldn't say that there's this amazing skill set. Like, you think Deion Sanders and his DNA, you think you're getting some incredible athletic specimen. Yeah. That's not really the case, though. So, you know, and then there's the Sanders name. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's, you know, sullied in the NFL. Of course not. But, you know, you get a Deion's kid, you're going to get a little something extra, a little lanyap, you know what I mean? So it's kind of every organization's going to have to decide, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that going to fit us or is it not? And that maybe eliminates some teams from the equation who are a little bit more, you know, conservative, or the coach doesn't necessarily buy into it or whatever. So, yeah, there's been a number of factors. It's just one of those quarterback classes where everybody's got some kind of warts on them.
Look, part of what you're going to get when you draft Shedeur Sanders is, if the team doesn't do well, well, let's bring in Deion to coach the team. So that's part of it. Now, your fourth quarterback, I've followed all the discussion about this guy. Tell everybody who you have the Giants trading back into the first round to take and why.
Yeah, I've got Jalen Milroe, and I, you know, maybe the Browns are more infatuated by him, or maybe they're willing to sit back and take a Tyler Shuck. But it wouldn't totally shock me. Now, Milroe's going to be at the draft in Green Bay. That only means so much. He could last the Friday. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to go in the first 32 picks, but if there is this kind of rat race to find the last piece of cheese, so to speak, and you know, you have a setup with Russ Wilson on a one-year deal, a modest one-year deal. You know, you have Jameis Winston kind of as the backup, the true number two. You could afford to take somebody like Jalen Milroe and take a risk, and you actually get instant returns from it too because of his running ability. I mean, I wouldn't imagine they'd be scared to take Russ off the field, although you could accuse the Steelers of that with Justin Fields last year. They didn't really take advantage of the two quarterback thing, but maybe the Giants are in such a desperation for scoring points, for adding excitement, for whatever, that they'd be willing to incorporate him into their run game and get him on the field early and kind of develop him on the side with Wilson taking the majority of the snaps. It's just a scenario that I could envision. And then you've got, you know, a couple teams late in the first round who I think would be willing to deal out around one, Minnesota being one of them. So, you know, I hadn't heard any specific buzz on that one, but it made sense on paper, so I put it down.
Is Jalen Milroe, I mean, obviously the comp is Lamar Jackson, but I actually think he's less polished than Lamar Jackson was as a passer, a lot less polished, but do they think that Milroe's running dual threat ability is greater than Lamar's? Because I think it's like equal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I heard Daniel Jeremiah the other day, and I thought, you know, it gave as strong a compliment as I've heard anybody give Milroe for his running, which is he is an elite, elite, elite runner. I think that was Daniel's quote, and he basically said that he might be as fast, if not faster, than Lamar and as good a runner coming out as Lamar was. So, yeah, you're right about the passing equation. I mean, that I think he's got the arm. He's got the natural throwing ability, the athleticism. He's a tough kid. He's built pretty well and all that. I mean, leadership, you know, those things you can't quantify. I think Alabama, you know, gave a pretty sterling review of him when scouts came through, understanding that he needs a lot of work. So, yeah, I mean, he's different than Lamar. I mean, Lamar had an innate control of the game that he could manipulate with both his arm and his legs. I don't think Milroe's at that point yet, and his arm is way too scattershot and for that to be the case right now.
Yeah, I remember because at the time I was doing the show with Chris Cooley, and Cooley said, and he was phenomenal as an analyst and looking at the draft, and he said, Lamar's the best running back in this draft. Of course, that pissed people off. He said, I'm not telling you that he can't play quarterback, but he would be the best running back in this draft. And I think Milroe would be right up there, maybe not with Genty, but he'd be in the mix for the second best running back in the draft. That would be interesting to see him at that position, but obviously they're going to look at him as a dual threat quarterback. All right, let's move to Washington at 29. We don't have to worry about a quarterback around here anymore, Eric.
Right.
Which is nice. And we're drafting the latest ever in the history of the franchise in terms of it, of their own pick. Because the last time they were, you know, finished this well, there were only 28 teams in the league. So they're picking 29th. Overall, I'll let you share with everybody who you have mocked to Washington, but give me the possibilities that you considered.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at edge rusher. I looked at cornerback. You know, I even considered a wide receiver, thought about it. You know, Mekhi Bugo was somebody who I thought could be a good fit there. You know, I would say that those were probably the three positions that I looked hardest at. Tell me who I gave him. I can't even remember at this point, to be honest.
You gave Azaraku, the defensive end from BC.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I was going to say, I knew to switch there at the end. Yeah, so I think I gave him a corner originally and then switched to Azaraku. So, yeah, I mean, he's got pretty good length. I know he's not tall, but the 34-inch arms help. He's not a super big guy, but boy, he plays with really good pace and control up front and uses that length to keep blockers off him and found his way into the backfield consistently. I mean, you know, I've heard a number of teams really like him. I think they're hoping he kind of slides to day two, the first few picks around two. That's kind of the word that I'd gotten on him in the last week or so. But I do think there's a chance he could be a first-round pick somewhere in that, you know, the late 20s or early 30s. So, you know, his character really stood out during the interview process. I think coaches felt like this is a really mature guy, so that would obviously fit well in a, you know, in a team first environment that Dan's built there. And so another competitive player on the edge. I certainly could see them going in a different direction. It's really hard to predict those late first rounders this year, especially, you know, when you have a draft pool where the 13th player and the 43rd player are not all that vastly different grade wise.
On the edges, do you have an idea as to where sort of the number that go in the first round, and like, is Azaraku maybe the last guy worthy of the first round? We know that Pierce Jr., there's a ton of red flag stuff on him with respect to work ethic, etc. Mike Green's got some of that too, but his talent is ridiculous. But how many edge guys do you think most teams have a first-round grade on?
Yeah, that number, if you include the interior guys, you could have double digits. But the edge guys might end up being 6 or 7 or something like that. You're right about the kind of the character and work ethic and focus questions on some of these guys. I mean, especially Pierce, who, you know, I think you could look at and argue has top 15 type talent.
Yep.
But there are some work ethic questions there. And, you know, he's a long rangy guy with the speed to get in the backfield. You know, both Ohio State kids performed incredibly well this year. The Arkansas guy, Landon Jackson, I think is a really intriguing player. You know, there's a number of guys who I think Nick Scorton was going to be a first round pick prior to last year. I mean, he was sort of, you know, a special player, but gained too much weight, really kind of fell out of favor a little bit last year. And man, I mean, you could make a case for like 10 of these guys being first round picks in a given year. So yeah, I think it's probably closer to 7, maybe 8, but yeah, it's going to be a first round dominated by offensive and defensive linemen this year.
All right, give me, you know, last two questions. Give me the first round projected guy who is your favorite player, and then give me somebody a little bit. I mean, you put Jalen Milroe in the first round, but give me another player that you're convinced you're going to be right about that no one really is projecting first round right now.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I kind of had a little throwaway line at the end of my mock and said, you know, the Rams love Brock Bowers. I wouldn't be shocked if they saw Mason Taylor still here at 26. Now, I haven't seen Mason Taylor in a lot of mock drafts, but I can't remember the last if I saw one in a first round mock draft, but there could be a third tight end in round one. I wouldn't be totally shocked by that. I think, you know, the question is, do you have that next level as a prospect? You know, some people sort of view him as the steady Eddie type, and yeah, he's only 20 years old. He'll be 21 next week, but yeah, I mean, I could see him being a surprise. I've heard some Carson Schwessinger buzz, possible late first rounder. I don't know if I'm buying that. Again, a team like the Rams who go off the map a little bit, I wouldn't be shocked by, you know, so it's possible the way he tested to possibly be a sleeper first rounder. I don't know if there's that, like, totally out of nowhere, pick, but those are a couple that I haven't really seen a lot in first rounds that, yeah, for the right team, I could absolutely see them kind of sneaking in. My favorite, I mean, it's the two guys at the top. It's Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. I mean, look, I know that's sort of chalky and easy to say, but, I mean, they really are the true blue-chip prospects in this class, and the guys who are not necessarily above reproach, but like they're the cream of the crop. So I can see why there's been calls up to the top two or three, even if they don't end up coming to true.
Do you think one last one, because I'm going to talk, and I did a bunch of stuff on the edges because at Washington, the odds are, because there's so many of them and Washington has a need, that the best player available at 29 would be an edge. So I think you went in the right direction. Good. I mean, it could be a corner. It could be an offensive lineman, Eric. I think Abdul Carter is really good, but I don't think he's Myles Garrett. I actually don't even think he's the prospect that Chase Young was coming out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, different player, think? Obviously. Yeah, I mean, he's not as, like, rare specimen, physically blessed to that degree. Like, Garrett and Young were in that 270 range, and they had the freaky long arms and all that. This is more of a Micah Parsons, Von Miller-style rusher. And, again, I know I'm invoking two pretty big names there, but that also reflects what I think of him. He was playing hurt, so a lot of people saw him in the playoff game and said, well, he kind of got locked up a little bit.
He was great playing hurt. Yeah.
But also, I mean, you also saw some great stuff from him. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think he's a warrior out there. Maybe he doesn't quite reach the Parsons heights, but I think he's that kind of style of rusher who can play linebacker and roam around and wreak havoc.
I know you're busy this week, so it's much appreciated that you gave us some time. Thanks. Hope you're well, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. Hopefully, things go in an exciting way for you guys.
Eric Edholm, everybody, from NFL Network, NFL.com. He put out his mock draft 3.0 yesterday, and I thought it was interesting that Jalen Milroe, that the Giants traded back into the first round to take Jalen Milroe. He's such an intriguing prospect, but you're going to have to commit if you use him to playing football the way Baltimore decided to play football, which you can play that way now. But I'm telling you that Lamar Jackson, even though he was unpolished as a passer coming out, he was much more polished coming out of Louisville than Jalen Milroe is coming out of Bama as a passer. But if the Giants drafted Jalen Milroe and you had him in the backfield, now they got Russ, they got Winston, but you put him, you know, in a backfield with Tyrone Tracy, who I think was actually a legit, you know, back last year as a rookie. They still have Devin Singletary, I'm pretty sure they have. Malik Nabers is out there. I mean, you're running dual threat. Your quarterback's going to rush the ball 15 times a game. And he is an elite level runner. That would be interesting to see him go in the first round. And again, he had Washington taking Boston College defensive end edge Donovan Azaraku. All right. The case for two Donovans for Washington when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nikki Javala from the Washington Post will join us at 12. I'll give you my thoughts on edge defensive ends in the draft coming up. Either in later part of this hour or next hour. Still haven't figured it out yet. All right, so yesterday I gave you just kind of a dream scenario for a trade back. The trade back would be somewhere into the second round where you picked up a second round pick. You had 2 seconds. Maybe you picked up a fourth after that, and you drafted Travion Henderson, running back out of Ohio State, and you drafted JT Tuimoloau, the defensive end edge from Ohio State. Love that player. I'm not saying that he would be in my top 4 or 5 of defensive ends, but to get those two players in the second round, which I think is the proper value for both of those players, and I think they're both ready to play right away. That's kind of one thing I was thinking about. I was also thinking about the other day, there's another Donovan in this draft, and it brings up a whole other conversation. Donovan Azaruko, the defensive end from Boston College, the edge, has been mocked to Washington many times now. And he is somewhere in that top 6 or 7 of edge guys. Now, I'll tell you, and I'm going to share with you some of my thoughts on some of these edge rushers on the show today. He is a pass rusher. He is not an edge-setting, first-down, run-stopping defensive end. Not at this point, anyway. He could develop into that. He's an excellent pass rusher. You know, they come in all shapes and sizes. There are guys that are good run-stoppers, okay pass rushers. Guys who are really good pass rushers, okay run-stoppers. There are some guys that are pretty good at both. Nobody's really elite at both, with the exception of two players in this draft, and I'll get to those two guys when we get to the edge guys. But there's another Donovan in this draft, Donovan Jackson, Ohio State's starting left tackle this year on their national championship team. He's played left guard in college, and a lot of people project him as a guard. 6'4", 317. The arms are, you know, not short, not extra long, but a lot of guys think that he would be an outstanding guard. So if you went with Azaruko at 29 in the first round, if he's there, that's a big if, and somehow you were able to get another Donovan, Donovan Jackson, that would be a really good first two picks. My Donovan squared scenario. Now, the reason I bring this up is because Donovan Jackson wouldn't be drafted to play left tackle. He'd either be drafted to play right tackle or to play left guard. And that's going to be the interesting thing in this draft, because if they draft an offensive lineman high, first or second round, and I had John on my podcast yesterday. John mentioned Tyler Booker, the number one guard in this draft, true guard in this draft out of Alabama, a guy that fits everything that you want Washington, that you think about when you think about a Washington draft choice during this regime. Team captain, described as a natural born leader, a motivator, just a guy that is incredibly durable. He's got great work ethic. He loves football, the whole thing. So why would John be talking about a guard as a possibility other than they love the player? Would they take him at 29? Would he be there at 29? I don't know. But that's why I started to think about Donovan Jackson. Let's just say that the best player on their board isn't Tyler Booker or an offensive lineman at 29, and they end up taking, you know, a guy like, Azaruko, you know, and you get that defensive pass rusher. I'd like a better edge-setting run stopper, personally, but you need pass rush in this league, period. But why would they be looking for in the second round, or maybe even in the third if they were to trade back and end up, you know, taking a third-round pick? Or why would they be interested in a Tyler Booker? I don't know, is the question, because Brandon Coleman is either going to be your starting right tackle or your starting right guard on opening day because Cosme won't be ready. If you took a Booker or a Jackson, who is he replacing long-term? It's got to be Allegretti. Or they're the starting right tackle, and they're replacing Wiley. Now, let me just mention, Tyler Booker is a guard. Okay, he's 6'5", 321, and he is projected to be a guard, primarily lined up at left guard in college at Alabama as a two-year starter. Excellent player and excellent, you know, character, the whole thing. But could they be looking to move on from Allegretti? Allegretti's got 2 years left on his, has 1 year left on his, 2 years left on his deal, 25 and 26. And the opportunity would be, cap-wise, you could get out after 25, and it would be a limited dead cap number on his deal. But, you know, I'm starting to think that everything's in play at 29 and at 61, or a trade back that gets you to 34 and 61 and 120 something. You know, you pick up a fourth in the move back after you trade for somebody's higher second, giving up that first. Everything's in play. And, you know, those of you, and I talked about this a lot when the season ended too, you're battling Philadelphia. You've got to get bigger, stronger, and more physical in the trenches to battle Philadelphia over 17 games. You got to end up with more wins in the regular season or a favorable tiebreaker if you end up with the same wins. Because your path to the Super Bowl, and every year's different, things change, injuries, the whole thing. But taking that out of the conversation and understanding that that's always a possibility that impacts wins and losses for teams, you've got to get better on each side of the ball in the trenches. You got to be a better run-stopping team. You've got to be a better pass-rushing team without adding a fifth pass rusher or a sixth pass rusher. You've got to be better up front offensively because your meal ticket is your quarterback, and you got to protect him. And your quarterback can't be your leading rusher in 10 out of the 17 games you play. 10 out of the, you know, 19 games, technically. I think it was 10 out of the 19, including the three playoff games. Well, the three playoff games would have been 20. They played 20 games last year. So we've talked a lot about, you know, pass rushers and corners and, you know, a potential wide receiver or a running back. It wouldn't shock me if they just end up with a D end that can stop the run and another offensive lineman in their first two picks. Big, strong, culturally high character, and just deciding we got to get better up front. Because that's really where they got their ass kicked. The Thursday night game in Philadelphia, the game here for a while until the quarterback got hurt, Philadelphia's quarterback got hurt, and then in the NFC title game. Philadelphia is strong in the trenches. You know, the players that they lost, and they're going to look a little bit different. They definitely are going to look a bit different than they did last year. You know, two corners are gone, Slay and Gardner Johnson. A couple of others have left, but they're still going to have Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, you know, Nolan Smith. Who am I forgetting up front? And then Zach Bond in the middle and N'Kobe Dean, who was actually hurt during the postseason. And then on offense, they just gave Cam Jurgens. Did you see this, Max? They gave Cam Jurgens, who came in to take Kelsey's spot last year, who they weren't sure he would work out. They just gave him like a three-year, $68 million contract extension, something like that.
A boatload of money, yeah.
So it's still him and Dickerson and Mailata, and who am I forgetting? Lane Johnson?
Yes.
Somebody else, I forget who the other guard is. And you got Barkley, and you got Jalen Hurts, and you got A.J. Brown.
Devontae Smith.
And you got Devontae. And Dallas you got Goddard.
Yeah.
And you got, oh, I was going to say Jahan Dotson. yeah, I mean, are we going to see a draft in which they said, you know, we went out, we got Debo. We're happy about that. We brought Noah Brown back. We're fine with that. We think Luke can step up and play really good football. We got Terry. Austin's going to be healthy this year. We like B-Rob. We just think we had to improve the offensive line. And defensively, they need more. I think they need more. Although they may think Dietrich Wise and Kinlaw and Goldman, you know, along with maybe Duron feeling like he's playing in a contract year, you know, even though technically he's not. But they could move on from him just like they did John Allen. Although I think, well, we'll see what Duron does this year. I like Dorrance Armstrong to step up and have a better season because he played very well in the postseason. But this could be, and this could end up being a draft that focuses on the trenches primarily. I still would be most surprised if they don't end up with a running back in this draft. It may come on day three. It may come in the final round of the draft. But there's so many of them that all kind of look capable of being NFL backs. And they, you know, they had... But even if you like Brian Robinson Jr. and you feel like it was more the offensive line, he's entering his final year of his contract. And Eckler doesn't have much left. So you need one in the pipeline anyway. All right, when we come back, I'll give you my homework on the edge defensive ends in this draft. We'll do that next. Nikki Javala from the Washington Post at 12 noon. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, last night, Caps got the big win against Montreal in overtime, a score of 3-2. Alex Ovechkin's first postseason overtime goal. Logan Thompson saved 33 of 35 shots with a 9.43 save percentage. The Caps have also announced that defenseman Martin Fervari underwent surgery to repair his meniscus. He will miss the rest of the playoffs. His replacement, Alex Alexiev, took a stick to the mouth in the third period. He received extensive dental work last night, but will continue to play. Maryland guard Rodney Rice has announced he is transferring to USC. And just two days away from the draft, Peter Schrager is reporting that the Giants and Browns are fielding trade calls for their early first-round picks. Today is the first day of the Commanders' offseason program. They're limited to meetings, workouts, and rehab. Jaden Daniels was recorded with a big smile on his face jogging into the building. Safe to say, he is excited to kick off his sophomore campaign. The Nats will take on the O's tonight in the Battle of the Beltway. Mitchell Parker is likely to get the start. First pitch at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nikki Javala will join us at noon. If you missed Joe B on with us early in the show, we'll play some of that back for you next hour, talking about the Caps win last night over Montreal. So yesterday I talked about the running backs. You know, I had a friend of mine say, man, you got a lot of players that you listed. Well, it's different this year. It's different in sort of talking draft because at 29, there are just so many possibilities. We haven't had that in recent years. Clearly not last year. We didn't have that last year. We didn't have that Chase Young's year. You know, it's been more about, I mean, you know, we've had that in terms of, you know, the Mississippi State corner that we took a few years ago, whose name escapes me, who we moved on from. Why am I forgetting Mississippi State cornerback?
How could
first
you forget Emmanuel Forbes, Kevin?
How did I forget Emmanuel Forbes' name? Getting old. There have been some of those, but at 29, man, there are just so many possibilities. And look, Washington's in one of those situations in which they are in position to be a very good team in 2025, but they also simultaneously have needs, you know, and have several needs. The reason they're going to be a contender again is because they got it right at quarterback last year, but they still have a ton of needs. So let me start with this. Like, Abdul Carter from Penn State is clearly the number one, you know, defensive end, edge, pass rusher, you know, player. You know, is he a generational player, you know, or talent? I don't even know what that really would be defined as. I guess a generation is, what, 20 years? He's not that, you know. I think he's a bit undersized and kind of unpolished when you watch him, but quick twitch, super explosive, high motor. The game he played against Notre Dame, and Eric Edholm and I were talking about this when he was on in the semifinals, when he was clearly injured, he had a shoulder injury, that was a warrior out there in that game. You love to see that. Is he Myles Garrett when he came out in 2017? No. First of all, Garrett was bigger, and Garrett's athleticism was just better. By the way, I went back and looked at 2017's RAS scores, the relative athletic scores from that draft. The only 10 out of 10 in that draft was Marshawn Lattimore. And then Garrett was number two at 9.99, so he was nearly perfect in terms of the athletic score. And number three was Fabian Moreau. Remember him? I'll tell you what, I remember watching Fabian Moreau in Richmond after they drafted him, and I'm like, compared to their other corners, I'm like, at least this guy's long and can run, because he was an athlete. Where's Fabian Moreau playing right now? He's somewhere. Is he with the Rams? Might be with the Rams. Anyway, I don't think Abdul Carter is Myles Garrett. He might be Nick Bosa. He's probably every bit of what Joey Bosa is. Not same kind of players. I don't think he's what Chase Young was coming out. Chase Young was a borderline generational prospect coming out. Trayvon Walker, you know, who Jacksonville took number one overall. He's a little bit different because he's bigger. That's a tough comparison. But Carter's really good. So explosive, quick twitch, first step. I mean, relentless, high motor player, Micah Parsons. Like, he led the nation in tackles for loss. He was number two in pressures, number seven in sacks. His health has been a bit of a question, not just the shoulder, but there were some other things leading into it, which, you know, didn't have him test for things like relative athletic score. But he's the number one edge in this draft, and he's clearly a player worthy of taking in the top two or three in this draft. I think Travis Hunter is the best all-around player in the draft. I think Carter is in the conversation for the number two player in the draft. Washington doesn't have a chance for him, obviously, so I don't want to waste any more time with him. But in looking at the position, it's kind of like what I talked about with the running back position. You know, I said there's Genty, and then there are like 10 or 11 guys that basically, they're all good. They all have strengths. They all have, you know, weaknesses. None of them look like Saquon Barkley. Doesn't mean that they won't become that, but as a prospect, they're not that. And edge defensive end is similar, although I think there is a number two. And I think they're, instead of Genty and everybody else, I think it's Carter, and I think it's Mike Green from Marshall, and then everybody else. You know, Green's productivity, good God, at Marshall was he productive. He led the nation in sacks. He became an excellent run defender last year. You know, his frame is really the issue. He's like 245, 250. There was some red flag stuff on him in high school and at UVA before he transferred to Marshall. Sexual harassment allegations, plural allegations. Not charged in either case. Teams are going to have to figure him out because, to me, if he starts to drop past like the top half of the draft, you know teams found out stuff about him that scared them. Because I think it's obvious that he's the second best talent as a pass rusher in the draft. So for me, after Carter and Green, then it's like a hodgepodge of everything. You know, so much of it will be about what teams like in the player, like in the person, how their fit is within their scheme defensively. Like a guy like Jalen Walker from Georgia is really more of a hybrid outside linebacker in a 3-4 more than he is a DN, but who knows? Maybe somebody projects him to that and thinks that he will be great. I mean, there's no doubt about his talent, even though he's only 240 pounds. But Washington's not going to have a shot at him either. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M is super off the charts athletic, but he never had more than 1.5 sacks in a season. Like, now, he had a ton of pressures. I think he's another guy just because of the athletic talent. He'll be off the board at 29. So if you take Carter, Walker, Stewart, and Green, and you say, you know, to me, it's Carter and Green, and then everybody else, you know, is a matter of preference and due diligence, et cetera. But if those four are gone, and I think there's a decent chance those four will be gone, then we're talking about guys like Mikel Williams from Georgia, Donovan Azaraku from Boston College, James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee, you know, JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, Femi Oladejo from UCLA. These are the guys that are in the mix for Washington in the first round, but some of these guys might be available in the second round, especially if they trade back. So let me tell you, you know, about those guys. So I'll start with James Pierce Jr. because I mentioned him on Friday. I would bet he's off their board. There is just too much out there, and you never know. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm just telling you what is, and this isn't even subtle in terms of the scouting reports and what all of the draft people are saying, is that there is a real concern about his love for football. I think I read, what was the quote I read about him? That basically one front office person said, we have to be convinced that he loves playing football. That's not a Washington player with this organization, with this front office. He's talented. He's a first-round talent for sure and was productive and has, by the way, that, you know, 10-yard drill at the combine number that Adam Peters likes. I just don't think they'll take him. Unless they did their due diligence and said, yeah, none of this is true. It just got, you know, those things are also always possible. Azaraku, to me, is just a pass rusher at this point. You know, he is 6'2", 245. I don't think he is a guy that sets the edge in Washington's base defense and is a real run stopper as a young player. But man, as a situational pass rusher, this is a guy who in a 4-3 base scheme at BC led his team in sacks, in TFLs, finished top three in the country in sacks and TFLs. He is bendy. He is quick twitch. He is apparently a high quality kid. So if they are looking for the 10.5 sacks that Dante Fowler Jr. took with them, and they don't think that they can scheme it up with Luvu or with, you know, any of the other players that they've brought in, and they're looking for a pure pass rusher, Ezeraku's possible at 29. I think his pass rushing ability is so great he's gone by 29. That's my guess. But you could not go wrong with the character and the pass rushing ability of Donovan Ezeraku. The problem is you're not helping your run defense and your edge rush defense by drafting him. Not early in his career, anyway. I like a couple of players that I think are second-round grades that could sneak into the first round. Nick Scorton's not my favorite, I'll just tell you that. You know, that's somebody that Ben talked about and Ben's mocked a couple of times, I believe. The guy's had some weight issues. I love his motor. I love his character, all of those things. He's a good player. He's a productive player. But, you know, at one point he was like 285, and then, you know, he shows up at the combine at 257. He doesn't look like the strongest of players, and I just wonder whether or not he would just be one of those DNs that, you know, gets moved easily. He's not my favorite of the players that come after the guys that I've mentioned. I love Landon Jackson from Arkansas. Landon Jackson is 6'6", 265. Four-man front at Arkansas, true D-end, athletic, big, strong, can rush the passer, can set the edge. He, along with my guy from Ohio State, JT Tuimoloau, to me, after, you know, a guy like Green and Carter, are the true, like, edge run stoppers in this draft. You know, guys that would be available potentially at 29 or even in the second round. So I love Jackson. I love, as I've mentioned, Tuimoloau. And where's the rest of my list here? I like Mikel Williams a lot. I don't know that he's going to be there at 29, but Mikel Williams from Georgia is a guy that played all over the place and is talented and has the size and has the length. I mean, he's got super long arms. They're like 35 inches. He just looks the part of a D-end. I think you can move him all over the place. He's a player I think that they would have a lot of fun with. You know, in the same way they do with Luvu, I think that they would have that with Mikel Williams. I would love Mikel Williams at 29. I would take that in a heartbeat. I think he is solid against the run. I think he... You'll see, if you've watched him before, just that long-armed ability to, you know, be disruptive at the line of scrimmage. He also really is one of those guys that if he sniffs out a quarterback, he closes the deal. I would say Ezeraku and Mikel Williams at 29, I'd be fine with either one. My preference, though, would be if they traded back and got a Jackson or a Tuimoloau from Ohio State, and also added something else. I like Oladejo from UCLA. Just played DN for the first time. He was at Cal and played, you know, middle linebacker at one point. And the guy Kyle Kennard from South Carolina, I don't think he is, you know, even a night two pick. He might be a night two pick. He's impressive. He's another guy that kind of lined up hand in the ground or, you know, two-point stance and was productive at South Carolina. Liked a lot about him, including his arm length and size at 6'4 and 255, 260. All right, there's some of the edge rushers. More on them later in the show or tomorrow. Nikki Jhabvala next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.